Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on the Hill, we're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really throughout the world to come join us. Come and learn with us. And we are so excited about today, Ms. Barbara. I know that you have watched 180, the movie, and I have watched it. And to me, it's one of those things that really you think you're already at a certain point, but when you see something like that, it just makes you feel so little at, you know, there's so much more you can do. And so I'm so very grateful. We're going to have Ben Dupre joining us in just a little while to go over 180, the movie that is going to, I believe, Ms. Barbara, it's going to change the way Christians think. It's going to remind us of things that many, unfortunately, have forgotten, Ms. Barbara.
Yes, I certainly hope that it does just that. I believe it is. I believe it's bringing about change already and will do even more so as more and more viewers watch the 180 film. And, you know, the Lord is so good. You know, it seems like in our greatest challenges and our severe crisis and, you know, he gives ideas and he gives, you know, he kind of stirs up the creativity of his people to do the job at hand. And that's what's happened with this 180 film. You know, Ray Comfort has been a great evangelist for a long time, and he has been so faithful to what God has called him to do, and he truly is about the Father's business. And I am just so I'm just so appreciative of him and his ministry, Living Waters. I encourage everyone to go to livingwaters.com, and there you will have a wide variety of gospel tracts that you can purchase and hand out and speak to people about Jesus. And you'll have really good instruction on some various ways you can do it, you know, because we all feel inadequate to step forward like that. So they help us to do that. So it's just a beautiful ministry with Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort. And I'm just so thankful to God for them.
Oh, yes, Ms. Barbara. And, you know, Ms. Barbara, when I saw that movie, you know, it really had the perfection that, you know, Hollywood is known for in producing these blockbuster movies. It really felt like that. They draw you in just the way, you know, Hollywood does. So, like you said, you know, God has just really gifted Ray Comfort and, you know, their ministry with
yep.
just incredible, incredible ability to make people think.
In just a few minutes,
Ms. Barbara, a few minutes. You know, that's not Hollywood. It takes an hour, 2 hours, you know. But I tell you what, ever since I saw that movie, Ms. Barbara, I cannot forget thinking about it. And that movie, really, at the most, it is 33 minutes. But right in, I think, the first 1 minute of it, you're already drawn to it like nothing else, that I have seen in a long time, other than The Passion for the Christ. You know, that's an extra special movie. But this also is an extra special movie from God. I'm just really very excited. But, Ms. Barbara, Mr. Ben Dupre is joining us. I did speak to him shortly. But we always like to start the conversations off in prayer. So, Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, can you start us off with that?
Thank you, Diana. It is a privilege. It is a privilege and a pleasure. And I'm just so grateful that we can pray together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, how great you are, oh God. And you are our God, our Father. We're so grateful, oh God, that we can come before you in the name of Jesus to your throne of mercy, your throne of grace, your throne, Father, where you hold us in your arms and you shower your love upon us. And, Lord, you comfort us when we are in sorrow. And, Father, you give us hope when we're discouraged. Thank you, Father, that your door is always open to your people, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our King, and our God. Father, we lift up this time to you and ask you to have your way during this time. We thank you for Ben Dupre and the Moral Foundation for Law. We thank you, Father, for the knowledge that they share. Father, we thank you for the love that they demonstrate to all and the desire, Father, that they have for the lost and to help all who are in need of legal help. We thank you, Father, that they defend our God-given freedoms. And, Father, they'll do so in court. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed them, not only with knowledge, Father, but with your heart of compassion, and your heart of courage. Thank you, Father, that you have just instilled courage in them. And we thank you for our time now. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts, our minds to your truth, and, Father, that it would be firmly planted within us, O God, and that it will bring forth fruit. We speak that over ourselves, Lord, that we will bring forth fruit, good fruit, Lord, and all those who hear these radio broadcasts, Lord. Thank you. You are at work, O God, within us. And we thank you, Lord, for all of this in Jesus' powerful and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. Oh, and I hear Ben. Thank you, Ben Dupre with the Foundation for Moral Law. And, Ben, thank you for, you know, informing us of this 180 movie that has really impacted my life. I know when I finally saw it, I was just, wow, blown away by, you know, within 2 minutes, Ben. It didn't take long for me to get blown away by the impact of, and I knew that this is a tool from God. What a great God we serve, to remind us, Ben. So if you don't mind, we'll let you get started and sharing with us really how you got started even thinking of doing what you did, which is to give it to all of our legislators here in Alabama.
I saw this movie, 180 movie, which is, yeah, you're right. To me, it's one of the most powerful pro-life and gospel tools available to us today. I saw it several months ago, maybe even in the last year, and I've sent it around on Facebook, and, you know, I was really impressed by it and moved by it and wanted people to see it. But I'll tell you, it took a supporter of the personhood effort, a gentleman in Mississippi, actually. He sent a message saying he wanted to send Personhood Alabama 180 movies to distribute as we saw fit. So he literally just dropped these in our lap, boxes full of the 180 movies, and I thought, what a blessing. What should we do with it? And I felt the Lord leading us to give it to those that I've been in contact with on pro-life matters, and that's the members of the Alabama legislature. So on Alabama Legislative Pro-Life Day last month, we distributed, myself and several other helpers, we distributed a DVD of the 180 movie to every single Alabama legislator's office over at the Capitol building, or at the State House building here in Montgomery. And I am praying that it makes an impact. And I know if they'll watch it, I know they probably get a lot of these things. For those, particularly those that are wishy-washy or even in favor of abortion, if they watch this, I know it has to have an impact because it is that powerful, and it really brings home the truth of life and how we are denying personhood to a whole part of our human race, which is exactly what the Nazis did. And it really brings it home in a powerful way, and then finishes up with the gospel message, which is a good reminder of the whole point that we've got to be preaching Jesus in what we do. So I was thankful to be a part of that, and I still encourage people to watch the 180 movie. They can go to 180movie.com. It's on YouTube. It's free. It's only about a half an hour. We showed it to our youth group here in Montgomery at my church, and they just were on fire now and are on fire for pro-life activism and prayer, and it really touched them. So whether you're already pro-life or whether you're somebody who thinks that, you know, it might be okay in certain circumstances, or you consider yourself pro-choice, I challenge you to watch this and try to answer those questions that are put to those people on the street. It'll, if you approach it with an open mind, I think you'll see the truth. And the truth is that life is precious, and we should not deny the right to life to anybody.
Well, Ben, I challenge everybody across, really, not just our state, across the states in this nation, to, you know what, post it on Facebook. When your church has shown it to the youth group, post a little note, say, First Baptist, whatever, Montgomery, watch 180 the movie. And I think we need to keep track, because I think it encourages others and makes them question, well, what was it they watched? So I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk to my pastor and ask him to please show it. And when we do, I'm going to, you know, we're going to post it on Facebook, and love to start a page just for that, Ben, for the youth groups to say, I'm on board. We got to watch this, and you know, let it be a youth thing. I think that is, as you say, you know, there. I said it last year that the people that are going to take this issue and make the change that's necessary is going to be the young people. And I remember saying that they need to see the pictures of abortion. I said that last year, I think, Ms. Barbara, or maybe the year before, because Don Fitness is on. But that's exactly what's happening. And as you can tell, I'm excited. But anyway, Ben, let me give Ms. Barbara, she's got to leave us, but I wanted to draw her in because what the Foundation for Moral Law is to remind us of our beginnings and really that's what I was just looking at, Hosea chapter 7. You know, they practice deceit, but God remembers. There's so many liberals that practice deceit in getting their agenda promoted, but God remembers, and he wants us to remember. And Ms. Barbara, I don't know if you can talk about this just briefly, because what you were doing today reminded me of checks and balances, as you were saying, which is really what Ben and them reminds us. The Constitution was formed by inspired men who already saw what the world had to offer. And the Constitution is there to be checks and balances because they know that men are not angels. So, Ms. Barbara, I don't know if you can mention a little bit of what you went through today.
Yes. Thank you, Diana. And I think when I describe it to Ben, he will immediately see what I'm talking about. But, you know, I went before the Planning Commission, who are planning and planning and planning and planning. And they are making laws, new ordinances, new laws regarding everything environmentally in our city, including landscaping for new and existing businesses and all the restraints and restrictions and for that and the penalties that follow if they're not in compliance. And the same with signs, and it's directly affecting business. It will, you know, business, our businesses here as well as everywhere else are really struggling, especially small businesses. So anything they can do to get customers in, they want to do, and they want to do it with signs, and where they have used appealing signs, it has made a difference in their businesses. But that's going to be closed down now through all these ordinances through the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission has a staff, and the staff is very busy. We have a city planner, and he and his staff have written all these laws. Well, my question to them was, okay, now you have written these laws, you have constructed them, you have worked on them and planned incessantly for a long time, 3 years, I think, and so you have actually made these laws, constructed these laws. Well, yes, we have. Well, now, for the interpretation of these laws, who would we come directly to you if we have questions regarding it? Well, yes, you can go online, or you can come directly to us, and yes, we will interpret, we will explain, and we will explain what the law says and what the law means, and we will interpret it. Well, then how about enforcement and executing these laws? Well, yes, we already have two police cars that are for environmental violations. We have and so forth. We're going to go over around the whole city, videoing every sign throughout the city, and so we'll know what's there, and we'll know who is going to be in violation of what. And that, yes, violations. Tickets written, and then you'll have to go to court and pay the court costs and penalties if they're applied and so forth. So then, you know, so they were telling me that they made the laws, they execute the laws, and they interpret the laws. And I said, you know, that's the very definition of tyranny according to our founding fathers. And that's why they separated government into branches with checks and balances between those branches, so that no one group or people have that much power. And, you know, I did have to say, look, I'm not saying you're not good people. You're all good people, you know. But that's the human nature. That's the sin nature. And the founding fathers recognized that. And so, anyway, they didn't like it one bit. Not one bit. Yeah.
Wow, man. But, you know, they said they forgot the Constitution, Ms. Barbara.
Oh, yeah. Forget? I don't know that it was ever learned. I mean, you know, there's no. It's like Nancy Pelosi talking about: is this in conformity? Is this Obama law in Obamacare in conformity with the Constitution? She says, "Are you serious?" And said it twice.
Thank you. Oh, it's such a headache, Miss Barbara. Well, I bring that up, Ben, because, again, it points to the fact that, yeah, unfortunately, men are not angels. And I know I've heard, you know, you quote that, and I think Judge Moore and, you know, Colonel Osmo, you know, just reminding us, really, and the founders knew that full well. And because we're not angels, we have to be reminded. And to get this back in line to 180, the movie, Ben, you know, truth sets a nation free. And I am just convinced, Miss Barbara, this is going to set so many in this nation free. And I'm just so grateful, Ben, for what you have started, because now other states will hear of it, Ben. And hopefully, have you heard other states having the same idea as you have of giving to their legislature these copies of the movie?
I don't know of other states doing that. I mean, I know that there are distributions that are done at public schools and the like, but as far as up in the higher levels of government, I don't know that. Not that's not to say it hasn't happened. I just hadn't heard of it. But you know, I'm very encouraged. But you know, I think there's over 2 or maybe 3 million views of this movie online. So that doesn't even include the, you know, the actual physical video or DVDs that are given out. But you know, the more we understand the gospel message of that we are all sinners, the more we will understand the danger of what Ms. Barbara is talking about, that we should not give unbridled power to anybody, however good they may be, that no one should have absolute authority. There's only one person in the whole universe that has absolute authority, and that's Jesus. And he's absolutely good, so we can trust. He can be trusted with that power. But us fallen creatures, we need to have checks and balances, like she said, because we have fallen short of the glory of God. And so we need government over us, but government also needs to be reigning at the same time. And when we have our current government right now, which sanctions and even pays for, out of our tax dollars, abortion, something is clearly awry. Something has gone wrong in our country when our Declaration of Independence, which it's our nation's birth certificate, says we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what's the point of government? That government is to guarantee those rights. Governments are instituted among men, and they're supposed to protect those rights. They don't give them to
That's
us.
Right.
They protect those rights that God has given to us. And when government has interfered and said that women have the right to kill their unborn children, and that our tax dollars have to go pay for that, then it's backwards. Government has been turned, and government has become tyrannical. It has become a terroristic against its own citizens. And so what I love about the 180 movie is it asks very basic questions. For instance, my favorite question in the 180 movie, it doesn't hit you over the head. You know, I'm very bold about my pro-life views and probably come on too strong sometime, but it's something I'm very passionate about. But this, the 180 format is man on the street. Maybe you've seen Jay Leno, where he goes out and asks people basic questions on the street, and they usually come up with some silly answers. But this is, you know, basic on the street. This seems to be at, like, public colleges in California, and they ask people, who was Adolf Hitler? And you'd be surprised how many had never heard of Adolf Hitler. They ask questions, you know, if you were told to bulldoze these people alive into a pit or you'll be shot, would you do it? You know, these are some challenging ethical questions. Of course, the correct answer is no, I wouldn't murder anybody. And then he starts asking questions about abortion. And for those who say that they are pro-choice, he asks them this question. This is my favorite question from the 180 movie. He says, finish the sentence for me. It is okay to kill a baby in the womb when? And then he puts the microphone to the person's mouth, and most of them realize what he's done, and they say, well, when you put it that way. And I think what it shows is that we as a culture have allowed the pro-abortion side to dominate the language of the debate, and use the terms that are favorable to them, pro-choice, you know, who's against choice? Well, you know, I'm in favor of choice as long as, you know, one of the, as long as you're making the correct choice, and I'm against the choice of killing somebody. So we, you know, as Christians and conservatives need to be aware of even the terminology that we're using, you know, in how we communicate our message of life. We are, if we're on the side of life and truth, we should be communicating that message and putting things as they are, being willing to speak things courageously, truthfully, straight to people and saying, so you're saying it's okay to kill a baby in the womb when? And I thought that that's a brilliant way to put it. It goes right to the heart of the matter. And it goes right to the heart of what we're doing in personhood, and that's restoring those basic human rights to the most vulnerable and weakest and smallest among us. If life begins at conception, then the law should protect that life from conception.
You know, Ben, we haven't been very wise sometimes in approaching all of these important issues and important matters, because the language does matter, and whoever defines the words, you know, they do have the upper hand, and they can control and dominate, and that's what's happened in our culture. And it's just been, everything's been turned around and turned on its head. And evil is being called good, and good is being called evil, as the Bible says. But truth has fallen in the streets. I think that's a scripture too somewhere. I don't know where. Truth has fallen in the streets, and we've got to be innocent as doves and wise as serpents. And we've got to, and I say we. I mean, I'm speaking to myself. You know, we've got to. What is more important than life for children? You know, what's more important than standing up for those who can't speak for themselves and defend themselves? What's more important than that, other than eternal life itself through Jesus Christ? I mean, and are we doing everything we can to bring the gospel? You know, so. Boy, we've got a lot to do, and we need to approach it wisely and to learn. You know, if you're, I think Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron give this example. If you're going to become a firefighter, you have to go through some training. You know, you have to become knowledgeable about some things, and you have to learn how to act and move and do and take action and. All of these different things and that go into it. Well, if we're going to be soul winners, ought we not to be trained and practice and experience and you know, God says, you know, whoever wins souls is wise. And we see the desperate need that we, you know, we experience this need for people to be saved all the time. Anytime we go out of our house or even turn on the TV or internet or whatever, you know, people are lost and need salvation.
Yes, indeed. And I like what you all are saying about the choice of words. You know, somebody I heard the other day was talking about the word that is used in the Ten Commandments regarding to murder. You know, it is a different word from the way I think you would, you know, kill someone in defense. And again, that is so true, Ms. Barbara and Ben. And I'm just thinking, one of the questions I'd like to ask is it okay to disincentivize work? I'd choose a more smoother word than that. Is it okay to covet when? You know, is it okay to murder when? You know, kind of like in parallels with, because that's
it's
really
okay
the way.
To commit adultery when?
Yeah. People really
that's
have
right,
to wake up, because that is where we're at, isn't it? The words have been turned that evil now is called good. It is okay to murder when it's not convenient for you, pretty much, is what's being promoted. And this movie does a great job when, because being, you know, Adolf Hitler, the facts show what this man was. So no matter what the liberal left says, the facts are that this is an evil man that killed millions. But the, another fact that people need to realize is that he was voted in by a people who were very intellectual, supposedly. Right, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, the German people, you could call them dupes. You could say maybe a large portion of them were evil, but you couldn't call them stupid and backwards. But, you know, they were going through an economic depression. They were going through hard times. They had been, they'd had their tails whipped in World War One after being triumphant for a while, and then they got the whole debt of the war saddled upon them. So they were in an economic depression, and here comes this man preaching to them. He's going to, you know, he's going to bring them prosperity. He's going to bring them hope and change. And yet he was blaming a lot of the woes on the Jews. That's how it kind of started. And he began to say it often enough that people began to believe it. So he continually demonized the Jews and those of what he considered non-Aryan races, racially inferior people in his eyes. Even though I've never figured out why Adolf Hitler, who had brown hair, was promoting the blonde hair, blue-eyed race. But anyway, he would demonize particularly the Jews, and he continued to, you know, call them greedy and would promote all this propaganda against them. And then he began to say that they were subhuman. He went from blaming a certain race to saying they were not even at the same level as the rest of the human race. And he began to depersonalize them, to make them less than persons. And once he did that, it wasn't as bad to start to round them up, put them into ghettos, in the eyes of the Germans who were listening to this propaganda. And, you know, this was a nation who had that had Christian roots, but they had gotten away from it, not just because of Hitler, but they had begun to, you know, out of Germany came, you know, a lot of the liberal theologians that doubted the infallibility of the Word of God. I mean, so Christianity in Germany had been undermined for decades before Hitler ever came to power. And he used certain aspects of Christianity, but he was by no means a follower of Christ and was actually very involved in the occult. But my point is, he took a class of people, the Jews, for instance, and others, and said, they are not human like you and me. We can do to them what we need to protect our superior race. And that,
you know,
provided the underpinning and the philosophical foundation for them to destroy. And that's exactly what we've done here in America. We say these unborn children are not yet human. They're not at the same level as us. So we can dispose of them like an appendix if we so choose.
You know, what is so, excuse me for interrupting you, by the way, what is so ironic about that is that the Jews were the most highly accomplished people among the Germans. And, you know, the scientists, you name any area, the arts, in science, in whatever, literature, and they were the most cultured, highly educated, and highly accomplished people in Germany. And they were the ones that were said to be subhuman and were marginalized in this way by Adolf Hitler. You know that the Germans, how did they buy that? They could look around them and they could see that what he was saying was not true. You know, you go down the list of Nobel Prize winners throughout the years, and probably proportionally, the Jewish people have more proportionally than anyone. So, you know, it kind of shows me, Ben, that we are so many times like sheep, and just kind of follow what anybody who's in charge, go along with them. Don't, you know, go with the flow, go with the current, go with what's being said. And kind of like what I experienced this morning and yesterday morning locally with local government.
Oh, yes.
You know.
But thank God you did that, Barbara.
There was no one. I mean, the place was full, but there was no one really. Well, anyway. Anyway,
well,
people kind of go with the flow.
Well, Miss Barbara, you were, you know, you were that voice. And it reminds me, Ben, of this movie, 180, the movie. Yes. It's one tiny movie. It's 30 minutes. It's not even a full 3 hour, you know. But what a powerful, because the Holy Spirit's in it. I thought, I felt it, and I cried. And then I watch it, it seems like, every week. At some point, I will go back, and I will watch it. But, Ben, before you answer Ms. Barbara what she said, you know, I just parallel today, because some of the things that y'all were talking about, you know, they demonize the Jews. Well, yes, they demonize Christians today. We're homophobic. You know, it's almost like we are, you know, yes, babies are subhuman, and Christians are subhuman too. You know, you hear that with the government and these new laws, you know, and what pastors can and cannot say anymore. But they came out of an economic depression. As you said, they were very intelligent people, very learned people. But because of that fear of their economy, it's almost like then they were willing to accept what in their heart they knew was wrong.
You know, any time we start to divide up our society on, you know, false lines, whether it's race or class, you know, you try to stir up jealousy of one group for another,
yeah.
Be wary of the person doing that, because they have a reason to divide, and that's to divide and conquer. You know, the Jews of the time in Germany were the successful bankers and businessmen, And that's why it was effective for the Nazis to say, you know, look at these, that they're successful because they're ripping you off. Not that you're trading with them and doing completely legal business with them, but that they're ripping you off. That's the only way they're being successful. But isn't that kind of what we do today when we say tax the rich, you know? And, I wish I was rich, but I don't hate people for being rich. In fact, I thought that we had the freedom to get rich in this country if we worked hard enough and did things right and saved up our money. Instead, we're being trained now to hate the people, and we're, you know, the 99% are being oppressed by the 1%, and this whole division of class, race, and that's straight out of the Socialist and Communist Handbook. But again, it's dividing people, in this case, along socioeconomic strata rather than race, and pitting people against one another and feeding jealousy and hate for people that have more money. Well, you know, maybe they worked hard all their life. Maybe they didn't buy the fancy clothes and the fancy cars for 40 years, so now they do have some money. Am I supposed to hate that person? I should congratulate them for being smart with their money and probably following the principles of Proverbs. But instead, we say, well, the only way the liberals are saying the only way that they got rich is off the backs of others. Well, that's not true in America. That may be true for certain people, and that's wrong. But for the most people, most of the people that are earning an honest living and they're saving their money and they're making wise investments and spending and living within their means, you know, that's what capitalism and freedom can lead to with the blessings of God. And so whether it's race or it's social status or economic status, we shouldn't be hating others and being jealous. And we're all human beings. We're all made in the image of God. And we have those equal rights that God has given us. And I think it's so absurd that we divide ourselves up, and then we turn and we look at the innocent unborn lives, and we want to say that they don't deserve the right to even take their first breath. Talk about a basic right. We're denying that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a sign of how sick our society is.
But again, we're on the defensive. They control the language. Mm-hmm. Tax the rich, the 99%. Mm-hmm. You know, all of this language that they're using to divide and conquer, they're in charge. We're defending. We've got to do better. We see what they're doing. We talk about what they're doing, but we haven't come up with a plan for defeating what they're doing with the language, you know, that is such a wonderful gift from God, but we need to be learning how to use that language rightly and going forward in the positive rather than always being on the defense and having to, you know, it's frustrating.
Ms. Barbara, I think I have an idea, which, you know, 180 the movie that Ben has just opened my eyes to is just, oh, my goodness, God is so good. What an incredible tool. But I have thought about this, and, you know, for our little portion that we could do, I'm going to try to have, you know, we've talked about doing a little newsletter type thing, but a recap of, you know, the things that we covered in the month, you know, talk about what Ben had taught, you know, just a little food for thought. But on the back of it, Ben, when you get a chance, I'd like for you to send us a little something that hopefully we can put in the back to just wake up the churches that, you know, it is all right to give out information on issues, you know, because mm-hmm. they're so scared. And something this simple, we're going to put on our website as a little contribution on this path of waking up the churches is make it available on our website that people can download, and I'll put it on Facebook. I was able to do that. I think I told you in my Sunday school class that I was in, everyone had one. Never a problem. And I know some of those women are praying for it. So if one can do that, I believe, you know, the thing that's lacking is that knowledge because of the mainstream media having almost total control of the way the American people thinks. They think they have total control. The body of Christ, I think, is speaking up. And what you've done here, what Ray Comfort has done here, wow, God is moving. He wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. But I also want to mention, we have Ben tomorrow coming on, Grace Marie Turner. She is, some of our guests are just awesome. And she's going to talk about Obamacare. And Don Simmons is going to talk about the abortion issue again. Thank the Lord he's pro-life. But also, I'm so excited. We have a Mr. Henry Burke, Ben, that will come on next Thursday. We're going to have a two-hour show, Miss Barbara. It will start at 12:30 till 3:30 because Henry Burke is going to talk in depth about this slavery mentality that is now being supported by our government through welfare entitlement. He's going to talk about the $1 trillion that is in food stamp program. $1 trillion.
Well, you know, you talk about slavery. I didn't say it, but I thought it saying, yes, master, because that's how they're treating the people of Dothan. The government here is treating them.
I've got to go,
Diana and Ben, but I had one thought when you're talking about getting this 180 out that when we also need to let everyone know when they watch it that there is something they can do. And here in Alabama, this next legislative session that begins in February of 2013, we can be at the ready and we can demand a personhood amendment be passed in Alabama. And, you know, I think this is the vehicle to be used, and I know that you said that, Ben, and have acted on it, but even with youth groups, I think we need to say, you know, when they're going to think, what can I do now? And we can say, well, help us get this personhood amendment passed, and any church group or anyone that sees it, that needs to be our response, because that's something we all can work on. It's immediate, and so anyway, I'm going to leave y'all. Thank you. God bless you both.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara.
Thank you.
Talk to you tomorrow. And Ben,
okay,
maybe have your Ms. Barbara, have your legislative session day on this issue be on a certain day when a lot of kids may be able to come, you know, some kind of a school, a holiday or something. Maybe y'all could work that out, because I think what you said about your youth group getting excited is going to be repeated throughout the state. And, you know, wouldn't that be incredible to have them in mass to come to Montgomery, you know?
Well, it's so encouraging to see. You know, I think the youth understand this, young people, especially children. It takes many years of brainwashing to think that killing a child in the womb is somehow a choice. I think inherently we understand that it's wrong. And you have to be, you know, go through some sort of re-education to think and to repeat back that, yes, it's a woman's right to choose to kill her baby. So when you see these young people who, of course, themselves survived Roe versus Wade, anybody born after 1973 is a survivor of Roe versus Wade, and the up-and-coming generations are more and more pro-life. And now think about it, the pro-choicers, the pro-abortionists, I'm using their terminology, those who are in favor of the right to abortion are killing their own. And those who are pro-life are having children, are saving their own. And so if you just look at the numbers, the farther down we get in history, the more pro-life people there should be. If the pro-abortionists are going to be killing those that they would otherwise be raising up. And in fact, a few days ago, the president of NARAL, which is one of the most radical pro-abortion groups in the country, the National Abortion Rights Action League, the president of NARAL is stepping down to make way for a younger person to take her place. And incredibly, her reasons partly for stepping down were that she looked at the pro-life movement and said, my gosh, they're so young. There's so many young people in the pro-life movement. And she was so stirred by that that she realized that they needed to stop putting forth the face of these bitter old women screaming about women's rights and try to appeal to the young people more. So even the pro-abortionists are recognizing that America, the younger people, you know, they may have voted for Obama more so than not, but they tend to be more pro-life. And that is encouraging. And again, I hope and pray that this shows that one day the abortion issue will go the way of the slavery issue. And what once tore our civic discourse and tore our country apart will be looked back at as an odd footnote in history, that we will look back, I pray, we will look back on this time when abortion was legal in the land and say, what were we thinking? Why were there even people that supported the right to abortion? How could they? How absurd. I hope that abortion goes that way of that slavery went in this country. That's my prayer.
Well, Ben, it's, you know, there's so many blind, and they would prefer that we stayed blind, and they deceive us. And unfortunately, mainstream media is so ingrained in that mentality. You know, they practice deceit, and now they're in our homes. You know, a lot of young people are watching things, and Common Core standards is one of the things we talk a lot about, because we know it's an agenda to control the mindset of the younger generation. So that's something we've got to keep a watch. But it's encouraging what you're saying about the young people. God is so good, because that is the issue. My goodness, he breathed life into man. We can't get any more basic than that for our beginning. And for us not to honor that gift and take away the lives of these precious children, wow. But, you know, it's fitting, Ben, that, you know, the young people have gotten it, and they're going to do something with it. They, you know, they see the truth in that. Life is valuable. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of man, it should be valuable to all. So thank God for this movie. And if you don't mind, Ben, tell people how to get this movie.
Well, you can watch it by simply going to 180movie.com, and you can watch it on YouTube format for free. And it's about 33 minutes long. It is very powerful. And however, to get actual copies of the DVD, you can follow the links from that site and order or batches of them. And they have, you know, testimonials of people that distribute the DVDs out. And I would encourage people to get copies because, you know, you can tell people about it, but most people aren't going to follow up and just go watch them. A movie because you told them to, but there are also ways you can post it on Facebook and Twitter and follow you know 180 on Twitter and things like that to get the word out.
You know, Ben, it's really almost perfect, this movie. But one of the things I kind of personally wish they'd put on there, which I know that's not really the core of it. The core of it is the life issue. But you know, so many people are drawn to you know what Hitler did. And, you know, the movie starts off with a march, you know, and with Hitler. I almost wish there was that on it because I know people are so curious about Hitler and when they delve into it, wow. But what a powerful, truth-packed little movie this is. And I think, Ben, it also really debunks everything that the liberals stand for, does it not? I mean, when the young people get it, what this movie is promoting is really truth. I think they realize that everything else that they are hearing from the liberal media, the agenda, I mean, I think it helps them see through a lot of that garbage when they see this movie.
Yeah, and again, it comes by putting forth some very simple questions about, you know, what would you do if you were in this situation of, you know, being asked to kill Jews, or what would you do? And then drawing that parallel just by very kind questions to the abortion question and asking, you know, when is it okay to kill an unborn child? It's very effectively done, and I really encourage people to make the time. It's only take you half an hour, 33 minutes, to watch 180 movie, and then share it. And you can watch on the movie, you can see hearts and minds change. People start off by proclaiming to be pro-choice, and then by the end, they say, yeah, you've convinced me to be pro-life. And it's believable because the power of truth has shown through the darkness of their minds just in the span of what was probably a few minutes. And some people that are very hateful, and there's one, you know, that one atheist with the mohawk. And
oh, yeah.
There's several characters that are just completely offensive. And yet the Ray Comfort, who's doing the questions, doesn't back down. But he just continues to ask them questions about the state of their soul and where they're going when they die, and always brings it back to the gospel. And that's what I love about how he does his interviews. Is he always brings it back to, you know, are you a good enough person to get into heaven? And reminds them that the only way to heaven, the only way to being reconciled to God, is through Jesus Christ.
Well, it's wonderful. It is very eye-opening. I think it will be part of this great awakening. And just, you know, I had some things that I found out just recently that opened my eyes to, Ben. Have you heard about the YouTube video about the Volkswagen Passat that gets 78 miles per gallon, but you can't buy it here? They sell it in Europe.
No.
Yeah, an American went to Europe to visit him and three other people, big people, he says, and they drove 2,100 miles and got 78 miles per gallon. So, of course, he comes home and wants to buy it. They tell him, no, we make it here, but we cannot sell it. And so, you know, I Googled a little bit about that. You know, I'm sure EPA's got something to do with it, but something else is about the taxes. Can you imagine if truck drivers didn't have to buy, you know, fuel as often, how all our groceries would go down and how you and me personally would have more money if we weren't spending all that money on gas? This would be another one of those, you know, eye-openers that there is so much control on our lives that it's time to see the truth for what it is. And the Buffett rule does just that. You said, you know, the rich versus the poor. Mr. Henry Burke shared with us, did you, that, you know, that was nothing but a show. The Buffett's secretary, who really makes a lot of money, was placed right beside the president's wife when the president spoke about it. So this is just a show. And he knew the Senate was not going to pass this. And he knew the House of Representatives was not going to pass it. But it had to be put in as his soundbite for a while, again, to start that rich versus poor, you know. But this is what people have got to wake up. We are, there's forces trying to control us. And that's really, I think, what this movie will show you. Hitler did that to a nation, to a people who voted him in. And we can't do that again. I remember Ronald Reagan saying that about Anne Frank. Never again. So I pray you will watch that movie and let's honor the past. Let's honor, you know, the future. Our children deserve for us to really take in the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And with that, Ben, I'll let you have some closing thoughts, and I'll let you, if you don't mind, just let's give this to God in prayer that many eyes will be opened, many eyes will venture in, and let this movie give them the truth that it bears.
Well, I have to admit some disappointment in our legislators this year in Alabama because they really didn't pass pro-life bills. There were several that were presented, including the personhood bill. And it didn't get passed. It didn't really. Some of them didn't even get out of committee. And so, you know, it can be frustrating. It can be discouraging. But so long as they continue to kill babies, we must continue to fight. We must not give up. And literally, lives are depending on our persevering. And I'm encouraged by people like William Wilberforce, who year after year kept coming back with a bill to ban slavery. And to stop it, and you know they never thought it would pass, but he never gave up. And I believe there will be a day where pro-life bills and bills that ban abortion will go through, and we will be successful if God's people are willing to stand up, and if we're willing to continue to not only storm the gates of hell, but petition the gates of heaven. And so I think it's appropriate that you begin and end this show in prayer, and I encourage people, get involved in pro-life ministry. Are you content with, in Alabama, over 10,000 babies dying every year? If you're good with that, then continue to not do anything about it. But if you want to stop that, get involved. Help support your local crisis pregnancy center. But also get involved in asking your legislators to pass pro-life bills, because the law should be protecting the weak and the vulnerable, and right now it doesn't. It does not protect. In fact, it protects the abortionists and those that want to take precious, innocent, unborn lives. So it's certainly an honor now to close in prayer and go before the King of Kings and the Giver of Life, the Author of Life, and ask Him to have mercy on our state and our nation and to help us to turn back to Him. And again, I encourage people to watch the 180movie.com. And also you can see the work we're doing at Foundation for Moral Law at morallaw.org, and also the project called Personhood Alabama, personhoodalabama.com. So with those remarks, thank you again, Diana. Always great to be on the show with you and to all your listeners. Appreciate everybody listening. And now it's time that we take action to stand up and be pro-life, not just say we are pro-life. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak your truth, to let the truth shine forth. I pray that you would stir our hearts, Father, to action, that you would give us wisdom to know where to act, and, Father, that your Spirit would go with us and help us. Father, we thank you for Diana and Barbara and the ministry that you've given them. I pray that you continue to open doors for them, continue to bring guests that will share the truth with the listeners here. Lord, show us how we can get involved, what we can do to save lives and to stop abortion in this land and stop the shedding of innocent blood. Show us, Father, but we know ultimately that it's not in our hands, but it's in your hands, Father, and so we petition you to have mercy upon our nation. Lord, may your Holy Spirit convict people of the sin that's in our hearts, that we would turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. And I pray that in everything we do, we would give you glory and honor, and may you turn this nation back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ben. And listeners, we ask that you partner with the Foundation for Moral Law in all that they're doing. Go to morallaw.org and become a partner. You know, they are defending our rights. They are defending these babies. And what a small thing we can do when we join in the fight, that the benefits are just untold. So we thank you, Ben. God bless you. Please express our thanks to Judge Moore and Colonel Eismo, and of course you, for everything that y'all are doing for us, not just for the state of Alabama, but really for the whole nation. And listeners, we ask that you join us again tomorrow. We're going to have Grace Marie Turner of Galen.org. She's the expert on Obamacare, wrote a book, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. So we ask that you tune in. May God bless you. May God shine his face upon you. Please share the podcast to www.cityonthehill.tv. And please look up that movie, 180 Movie. Just put that in if you want to, and you'll find it. It's on the internet. It's available everywhere. It's even available on iTunes. I just saw that. So, you know, get a hold of it. Get it to your churches. And then post on Facebook that your church, your youth group got to see it. What a trend that would be, Ben. That will be exciting.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, listeners. God bless you. Goodbye.